Hello, anybody, and welcome to another Recovery Radio replay. This is Radio Johnny from the Latah Recovery Center. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah Recovery Center, located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. You can also find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org or on Facebook and Twitter. Recovery Radio's mission is to share with our community how recovery from addiction and mental health issues affects us all, to make our community aware of the recovery resources available in our area, and to share the personal stories of people in recovery, highlighting their experience, strength, and hope for continuing recovery. Don't forget, you can access this and past Recovery Radio shows from the LRC websites and as podcasts on iTunes. So for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this Recovery Radio replay. And today, fortunately, God blesses us in many ways. And I bumped into Scott M. down at the Recovery Center. I've known Scott for a few years here. And he's actually was a guest on this program when Nancy Chaney had the show a couple of years ago.
Yeah, that's awesome. She's great.
And he was willing to come in and fill the gap and share his story. So yeah. Welcome, Scott. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. It's awesome. Yay.
So why don't we do it the easy way and have you just start out telling us basically your a little bit of your history and then we'll go into what's been going on lately for you, because I know it's a lot.
Well, long story short, when I was here with Nancy.
No, make it long. It's an hour show, Scott. We got to make it one.
Well, when I was interviewing last time, I was still going, a student at LCSC down in Lewiston, working on getting my social work degree, and some health issues arose, and I couldn't finish that, but I did finish with my bachelor's degree, and I came out with a bachelor's and a minor in addictions and a minor in social science. And so I was in pursuit of that, and unbeknownst to me, you know, I'm married, got four kids, and the relationship I was in, a 15-year marriage, just kind of went different ways, and you know, we grew apart, and all the work and everything that I was putting into in the time at the center kind of went awry, because in November I had a stroke.
November of 2018?
Yeah, I graduated May 10th. Let me back up a little bit. A lot of things come down, so it's hard to catch up with where I'm going.
Yeah, take your time. We're
so
here
much
for a while.
I lived in a trailer court I'm sure everyone's familiar with called Syringa that closed down. And I was forced to move. So I had May 10th when is when I graduated. May 18th is when we were supposed to be out. So I was like, okay, where am I going to go? What am I going to do? I got, you know, the kids. I got the wife. I got myself and a home and nowhere to put it. Well, someone came along that helped me out. I was able to find a place to put the trailer. I was find a mover. Someone helped put us up in a motel here at the Best Western local motel here. And we stayed while the trailer was moved, got that leveled out, got it put in, thinking things were okay. I graduated, things, you know, okay. I'm still at the center, thinking okay.
Yeah, just congratulations on getting your degrees.
No kidding.
That's awesome. Good for you. That's awesome.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It was probably one of the hardest things that I'd ever done. Everyone said, go back to school. It'd be easy, they said. Yeah,
right. See, that's what I think, too. So,
congratulations.
I admire that. That's amazing.
All this new math and new English. Right? Can't we just speak English?
It's hard to just help my 10 and 8-year-olds, especially my 10-year-old. She's in fourth grade, now she's going into fifth. I usually hit up her dad because he's a college graduate, but crikey. Anyways, sorry.
Ophelia. It was tough. Like I said, you know, I used to be a truck driver, and if it had gears and wheels, it was a piece of cake. Just put it in B for boogie and let's go. But this whole school thing was
I don't think I have that one on my steering column.
Yeah, you know, this whole school thing is like, you want me to do what, when, and how fast? But I got through that. Then the next thing was to get out of Syringa before I lost the home and couldn't figure out what to do with that. But, you know, fortunately, I was able to move on. I got help from people. You know, like I said, I had the trailer was moved from a company out of Rattrum, great company. And then I had a gentleman put us up in a motel for a week, and then another family had put us up in the Idaho Inn when we ran out of our stay at Best Western. And the, you know, wife and I moved into Appaloosa Court, outside over by the Kibbe Dome, another trailer park that had been bought by new owners. Mm-hmm. Really cleaned the place up, a nice place. Nice. And like I said, unbeknownst to me, I spent so much time, I think, working on school, working on that, and working on my career and life, and that after 15 years, my wife and I had separated, and that caused a lot of stress. During going to school, I had a cranial aneurysm. I didn't even know what an aneurysm was until I had one. And then in November, I had a stroke. This was after she left in October. I, you know, went into such a depression, I guess, that it just sent me on a spiral. And I had a stroke. Then I was in Pullman Hospital for 10 days on that. And it's amazing what a stroke can do to you. I mean, it was kind of comical. You know, they're doing cognitive tests on you to make sure that you're okay. And the one doctor said to name 10 wild animals in 10 seconds. Now, name as many wild animals as you can in 10 seconds. The only stupid thing I could come up with was koala bear. You know, I was like, what? Koala bear?
And it's like, name 10 of them and give me a time limit? What is wrong with you? You know, I graduated school, you jerk.
Yeah, like, I went from a bachelor's level education to a third grade education in 10 seconds. You know, I was like, wow.
Oh, man.
Well, it's
hurts.
Like the minute for me that they make it a test that I'm just like, oh, now I'm going blank. Thanks for the pressure. You know, if you just would have just asked me nicely the question.
Yeah, test anxiety.
Right? Yeah. Thanks like, for that one.
But anyway, after 10 days, I'd come up cognitively from where I was, and they felt it was good enough for me to go home. And I actually felt really, really well, mm-hmm. you know, besides taking me off all my medication and everything else, which I thought, okay, was a good idea. But like I said, I wasn't all there. But they sent me home. And when I got back home, just went into this severe depression. I mean,
That was a lot to go through from what you've just explained. So
it was probably the worst part of my whole life.
And this was last year.
Yeah, 2018. It was the worst I'd ever been. I mean, it was so bad. Isolation.
Yeah.
Kept the curtains closed. Didn't turn on lights.
Well, and you were
TV.
Having medical things going on top of, like, so your marriage, it sounds like your marriage dissolved. I'm so sorry.
Yeah,
and all these big changes, moving, marriage stuff, probably family dynamics changed a bit.
Oh,
you're trying to figure
changed.
Out all that. I've been through some of that kind of stuff. And then they have the health problems. So now an aneurysm, is that bleeding on the brain?
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. It was from stressful towards the end of school and just the overload of trying to do it all on my own strength, forgetting that,
you can get help.
Doing the maintenance program is...
Hang on 1 second, Scott.
Oh, yeah. We've got to make sure we can hear you. There we go.
The cable on that microphone
is that
a little,
better?
A little flaky. So, yeah, you just... Yeah.
How's that?
Yeah, that's... You're good. You're good. Thanks.
All
sorry.
Right. Sorry about
for
that.
The interruption.
No, it's
all
right.
It's not you. It's the...
technical
the
difficulties.
World War II surplus cabling that we're using.
Story of my life. It's always technical difficulties somewhere.
So you have the stroke, and they decide that you can be released from the hospital. You go home. Where are you going home to?
Back to Appaloosa Court, my home.
Okay.
I had a roommate at the time, and so he checked up on me periodically. He had his own life and job and work, so he wasn't always around. But for the most part, I just sat in a lazy boy chair and stared into the darkness for a good 4 months. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it was the worst.
Yeah.
You know, here you are reevaluating what to do, where to go, when to do, why to do. And for the most part, the depression from just the marriage being.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
You know, where just do you go
that.
With it?
Just that in itself, let alone with all the other, medical things. Wow, that's enough.
You know, and I, you know, to be honest, I'd given up.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You know, I didn't know where to turn. But
and did you have children?
Yeah, I've got 4 children.
Yeah, I didn't mean did you. Do you have
I
children?
Do, yeah. Yes. I've got 2 stepchildren and 2 biological kids. One's still living down in San Diego. The other one's up here. Mm-hmm. He's a student at U of I. And I've got 2 that work here at Paradise Cafe and 2 daughters. And
nice.
They're all doing very well and thriving. It just makes my heart sing.
That's awesome. So, I don't know, Johnny. Should we take a break, or should we continue?
We can roll on a little bit.
Okay.
I know. Then you got back after the stroke. Things
were dark.
Getting even worse.
Things got, you know, for the moment it was like, okay, I'm home, I've got this, but that overlooming darkness took over, mm-hmm. and it got to a point to where I got very suicidal. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting at home one night with a bottle of Valium and a Pepsi Cola in my hand, and popped the top on the pills, popped the top on the soda. Mm-hmm. I'm checking out, I'm done. And I had a call from a very good friend that called. And it wasn't one of those things that, hey, man, what's going on? Hey, how you been? It was, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. One of those creepy, I'm looking out the window, are you watching me kind of thing.
Yeah, somebody got tapped on the shoulder and God was like, hey, you need to call this person now.
And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, yes, it was my journey. Yes, it was my decision. But to know that someone took the time that was out of my circle at the time, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody had to have been tapped on the shoulder for that one.
You know, and from that point on, we've become best friends, and we've moved on, and we are there for each other night and day.
Excellent.
Yeah, that's, you know, I wanted to get to at least that, because that's kind of a jumping off point to where things started getting a lot better, even though a few hiccups along the way.
There were a lot of hiccups along the way, but from that turning point, if it hadn't have been for that person, It had been lights out for Scott.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Divine intervention. Mm-hmm. You know, I have to say that I've experienced not specifically that, but events like that where I've just was confused, didn't know which way to turn. Then all of a sudden an answer just presents itself out of the blue. And, you know, I've learned to accept those little miracles in my life as just, you know, that's how God communicates with me. Whenever we need something, it shows up in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, absolutely.
I remember one time I was thinking I was I was talking to a friend on the phone bragging about this new job and, you know, how much I'm going to get paid and all that. And I had my dogs out and they're doing their business and I'm bragging away, and suddenly I looked down, and my dog, who had never done this before nor afterwards, was lifting his leg and peeing on my foot.
Was he kind of like, hey, Johnny?
Yeah.
Hey, you're being a. Yeah.
You're a little too full of yourself. Yeah. Here, let me.
Calm down a little bit. Let me humble you.
let me show you what humble is. Yeah, exactly. Well, doesn't always work that
sure
way.
I'm sure I'm glad for that phone call. That's.
Yeah. Wow. All right, well, let's break into a little music. Gonna hit up some Steely Dan here. So you are listening to KRFP in beautiful Moscow, Idaho. With stocking face, I bought a gun. The plan was set, the plan was done. Look at my watch and started for.
Paraguay.
That was Lil Steely Dan for you here on KRFP, the coolest station in the nation. I'm Johnny, and this is Recovery Radio with my partner Denise and our guest today, Scott. And where are we going with this, Denise?
Well, we had just, Scott had just shared about what had happened last year with graduating from school and needing to move out of Syringa and finally getting that set up, and then marriage dissolving, which was just, I mean, that's huge.
Oh, 15 years. It was pretty devastating.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I think that's one of the most devastating things that can happen, personally. And then you had an aneurysm and then a stroke. And then when you did get released home from the hospital, about a week or week and a half after, it was just really dark times. You were just super depressed. I mean, yeah, stuff sucked.
Everything kind of landed in. I wasn't, you know, on my psychiatric meds. And
right.
Like I said, I had that friend that called out of the blue. Yeah.
So you'd become suicidal, and then someone called you right as mm-hmm. you were about to take your life.
Oh, it wasn't like contemplation. It was beyond. It was mm-hmm. it was go time, and
yeah.
she called just when the time was right.
Yeah.
And then after that, you know, things were okay. Not, I don't want to say okay, like, hey, you know, peaches and
cream. But at least you
okay.
knew somebody cared. I mean,
yeah.
like somebody, some divine intervention, or however you want to, you know, however you'd like to call it, your story, came along and she called you right at that crucial moment, you know?
Exactly.
So at least there was a, was there like a little glimmer of hope in, or something?
There was a glimmer of hope in it. The suicidal thoughts didn't go away, but it kept me going forward. And And I had another friend from Lewiston that I'd met at school. You know, he was a Marine and very straightforward with me and what's going on. And he would always come up and check on me. Mm-hmm. And he'd known about the lady, you know, my friend that had called. He knew about what was going on with
right.
that. And he got tired of coming up to the house all the time saying, hey, let's go out. Let's go mm-hmm. do something. And I'd tell him no. And he'd walk in mm-hmm. all the time because the house would be dark. The curtains
sure.
would be blunt, you know, mm-hmm. pulled. And finally, one day, he just had enough and he... You know, he's a big guy. He's a Marine.
yep, and, somebody's getting.
and he grabbed the back of the Lazy Boy and just picked the whole thing up and threw me out of it. And he told me, Semper Fi, it's time to do something. Mm-hmm. We're done.
It's enough's enough, huh?
So I took a shower and he took me to Buffalo Wild Wings. I really didn't eat. I mean, it was like I said, I was 280 pounds. I dropped 80 pounds. I dropped 4 inches in my waist and mm-hmm. couldn't eat much. Still don't eat much. I'm still on the recovering end of it all. But. It took a lot of people to bring in time to bring me back to where I'm
yeah.
at. And
well, just the you got a shower and got out and went to a public place. That's awesome.
Yeah, and
I mean, that's a
drive.
Big step. It
yeah,
just
it
is.
Is.
I mean, it could have been just taking a shower. It could have been a big step. So taking a shower and getting out of the house, that's definitely a start.
Yeah, it,
that's
it
off
was.
To your friend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's taken a lot.
So you're out and on the road. And then... And
well,
then?
Well, and then, you know, you start going back to the center. It wasn't so much going back to the center to volunteer. It was just to make an appearance.
Right, to be somewhere.
Just to be yeah. somewhere out of the house. And I still struggled with being there. I'd go, I mean, one of my, they tell me it's not self-care, but for me it is. I drive. I'll drive, you know, I'm sure people have seen my car around town. You can't miss my car. you know, it's got a mile marker for a fender. It's got two different color doors, and it looks like it's been to Hades and back.
I've seen it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't miss it.
And, you know, 313,000 miles on. It's been hit six times and rolled twice, and she just keeps going. But I'd be in and out of the center, just 5 minutes gone, 5 minutes back, 5 minutes there, you know, back and forth. And
so the driving, is that something for you? Because honestly, I've heard other people talk about it, and I've felt that sometimes taking a drive, getting out in the car, can be really great. What do you think? Is that something that has ever worked for you, Johnny?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's worked for me.
Yeah, I have...
therapeutic in all sorts of ways.
Yeah, back in my misspent youth, you know, when I finally got my driver's license, my freedom, and my car, I mean, I spent my life in my car just, you know, being away from alcoholic parents and, you know, a crazy home life. And,
right.
And, yeah, that was...
Having some peace and quiet. And
oh, yeah.
Visiting who you wanted to and seeing what you wanted to. And
turn the music up as loud as I wanted to and, you know, put the top down. I had a little 65 Corvair convertible.
Dang.
Oh, man, I was the bomb.
Spoiled.
Man. Yeah.
Lucky
you.
That's awesome.
Well, it also had, you know, more body damage than, you know, an MMA fighter.
Sounds like my car.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't all pretty, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool enough
for
me.
It was cool. Nice. Yeah. That's awesome. So when you say the center, do you mean the Latell Recovery Community Center?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure our listeners knew that that's what he was talking about, because it is. It's a great place to go pop in and say hello and check some things out, you know.
Well, it can be, you know, the center of the universe for a lot of people because, you know, they're just, you got to have some place to go to find like-minded people sometimes, you know, the LRCC is a great place to go to find people that understand what your problems are, because maybe they got them too.
Well, and a lot of people there knew me from before, because when I was in school, I did my internship there, and I was I don't want to say working, I was volunteering.
Right, right.
And doing my thing, and then when the floor fell out, everything was put to a halt. They had said, hey, you need to do some self-care. You need to be stopped doing what you're doing, but at least come back, at least visit, at least let's work back up. And kind of fast forward now, I'm kind of back in volunteering as much as I can. I actually went to some more training for a certified recovery coach, and I went back for peer support specialist training, which I've completed both.
Well, good for you. Congratulations on that.
And during that, I've also obtained a job down in Lewiston. So I'll be keeping busy between paying it forward, working down in Lewiston, and volunteering back up at the recovery center.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, and you've also had some additional physical issues down the road.
In June, I had another heart attack, which I was lifelighted from Gritman up to Kootenai. They found that I have severe bradycardia and tachycardia, which in a sense, the heart beats too slow, then passes, you know, stops beating, then races up to the top of the ceiling and goes too fast and stops beating, then falls back down. So it's a constant yo-yo, you know, it's up and down. So they want to, in September, I go in to put a loop in my chest to find out exactly what they can do. It's like a prequel to a pacemaker. And then they're going to put a pacemaker in and keep going from there. And the kids look at me and tell me, great, give you a pacemaker, you're so ornery, you'll outlive us all now.
You turn into the bionic man. Yeah,
something to that effect.
Well, that's fantastic. It's great that you're getting treatment for that, you know. It's I'm getting to that age where, you know, my friends are getting hearing aids and pacemakers and new joints,
knees,
in their body,
redone and everything,
and
shoulders.
Hips, shoulders.
What's your thing, Johnny? What do you
my
got?
My thing, I'm keeping my head down.
Yeah? No things. You got no things right now.
No, I've just got my family curse of, you know, severe arthritis in my back and, you know, hands
get the
and everything
off,
else.
Right. See, we're going to have to talk about that, because I got arthritis in my back as well. My spine,
it sucks. Yeah.
Yeah.
So if there's any good stuff that you like recommend, I'm all for listening to that right now. So.
Yeah.
maybe later, not right now, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. Tylenol.
Yeah, I do that.
Ibuprofen. ice packs,
yep.
Heat packs.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. Well, and you know, I was reading about it and it talked about, you know, keep moving. And so like I try to walk a lot and, you know, my job is super, I never sit down. I'm sitting down now. And this is the only job or volunteer job that I have all week long where I sit down for an hour.
Right.
So I keep myself moving around and keep those joints moving as much as possible. So
yeah, my wife keeps me moving around the house too. She hates it when I get comfortable.
She's like, hey, get you with the newspaper. Smack.
Yeah,
go take care of the dishes. Go go walk the dogs.
Go walk
You're being lazy.
Take the dogs out. Yeah, really. So water the yard. Go.
So what that does mean though is that, you know, she'll start back at work and then you can get in some
serious
downtime, some lazy downtime,
some serious lazy boy time.
Right. And then it'll be like
cranking that sucker all the way back.
Right.
And
then an hour before his wife gets home, he's going to run around and get everything done. Be like, come on, dogs. We got to go.
Have you been looking in my window?
No, but I was a teenager before. So
oh, I see.
I remember.
That's true. I essentially stopped maturing at about 14.
Yeah.
You know, when
so
I kind of
figured
doing drugs and drinking on a regular basis. So, yeah, no, that's exactly my MO. And, you know, damn proud of it. No, I also, you know, encourage anybody who's having, you know, back problems or joint problems or muscle or whatever. I go down to the Martin Wellness Center, which is run by Gritman Hospital, who's also a very good friend of the Latah Recovery Community Center. And down there, they're down on Palouse River Drive, just a block or so off of Highway 95. Let's see, they're on the west side of Palouse River Drive. And they have all kinds of classes down there, fit and fall.
They have arthritis classes.
Yeah, they have arthritis. Yep. And they have a pool. Mm-hmm. And at the pool, they have, I do a thing 3 days a week. It's a core strengthening class. And not only has it helped me maintain my weight down below a really obscene number, obscene to me, it strengthens up the core, which helps support
back.
Back.
Definitely. Especially the lumbar.
Yeah. Helps keep the pressure off the joints and those little arthritic growths that push on the nerve bundles and, you know, make a little pee run down my leg every once in a while. It's not fun.
That and it's a little bit of social time if you want it to be, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And then they have their little hot tub, too, that you can, you know, get into afterwards if you want.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
So, you know.
Especially in the wintertime.
And, you know, if you qualify for help, they can be paid for, too. So
that's right.
Either
they have scholarship programs there.
That's what I meant, scholarships.
And yeah. And so, you know, if it can help you, man, that's a great thing. They're also doing starting a new thing a couple of months ago, so I guess it's not that new. But it's a boxing class for people with Parkinson's, I guess it helps people with muscular coordination and. Keeps the nerves firing in the proper way, and they get to beat the crap out of, you know, a speed bag and a heavy bag, and
that's awesome.
Always makes me feel good on occasion.
I've never done that,
especially
before,
after
but
a long drive
fun.
In the city.
Yeah, right. It looks really fun. Our town's amazing. That's just all I have to say. With all the things that we get to be a part of and have people on our show and just be out in the community. I love Moscow. I think it's really great.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really great programs and people in our town.
So that's enough about me for a minute. Scott, why don't you talk about me? No, wait. That's not what I meant. Why don't tell us about what your future looks like in your eyes. What do you want to see happen to Scott going forward?
Well, what I'd like to see happen to Scott going forward be more stability. I mean, I'm coming back, like I said, out of that. The end of 2018, you know, I thought, well, I'm going to turn 50 when I graduate. It's going to be the greatest part of my life. And it turned out to be the worst part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But
and yet you managed to stay sober through it, too. That's pretty amazing.
There wasn't an option. You get so far down that even getting high wasn't a thing. It wasn't.
You're like, eh.
Just didn't even occur to you.
I didn't have enough strength.
I get it. You know what I mean? Yeah. That would have meant you had to get out of your house and somewhere.
Not even get out of the house to go somewhere. It would have.
Couldn't even make a phone call to the right guy.
Yeah, the right guy, or even, lack of better terms, pack a pipe. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just didn't. You didn't care. I mean, like I said, I sat in a lazy boy, stared at a TV that wasn't on. From when you woke up till the sun went down, you just sat there and did nothing.
Yeah.
There was no strength. There was no energy. But from this point on, now that I have a job, I understand depression to a whole new level. I want to take my health a little bit serious. I mean, I'm kind of forced to at this point. I've had to cut energy drinks out against my will. You know, trading one for another.
Yeah.
But I'd like to just see some more stability in Upcrime and share my story with others to know that there is hope. Regardless of how bad it gets, it can get better.
Yeah, and you're doing that through your volunteerism at the Recovery Center.
Yes.
And are you getting involved in any of these events that are coming up?
Yes, I'll be working with IROAR.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. And are you going to be at the, I know they're going to have people sharing their stories at the festival. Are you signed up for that, or should I put your name in?
I don't know yet. I'm not too good at getting up in front of a crowd, believe it or not.
Yeah, I get that.
Now just imagine you're sitting here with Denise and I.
See, that's the cool part about being here. I always just tell people it's just the three of us in a room, and you can't see anybody, so it makes it a little bit easier.
Right, yeah, but right. Now you start telling me there's millions of listeners out there. All of a sudden, anxiety just went 0 to 100 in 2.3
seconds.
There's
not millions.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Dozens at least.
Yeah.
But it's a start. Yeah, no, it's a start.
It's just a whole different dynamics. You know, I mean, you know, they tell you to role play at school or role play in training. It's like, no, it's all right. I'll take an F.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think what helped me to be able to talk in front of people when I first started in recovery was people in group that I knew, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I made it a little bit better, and then I worked up from there. And so now, like at CR, I just focus on trying to like talk loud enough for everybody. Because
right.
There's no mic.
Yeah.
And I wanted to complain and say we needed a mic, but then I decided since everyone else stands up there and projects their voice well enough, I probably shouldn't whine about it. So.
And you can project.
I can.
I've heard you talk to your children. You can project.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that's good, though. It also sounds like there's things that you're involved in, so then giving people around you to kind of, you know, keep an eye on you and talk to you and stuff.
Exactly.
Kind of ask questions, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's people that will still check up on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
it's
just
important.
You know, where are you at? What are you doing?
They care.
You know, if I don't send a text to somebody, hey, I haven't heard from you. What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
My kids are constantly around, bringing the grandbaby around.
Awesome.
Get to see the grandbaby.
Oh, you're a
That's
grandpa?
The stuff. Yeah, he has adult kids.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
You look way too young to be a grandpa.
Well, I'm only 19. I just
don't we all.
Hard road.
Don't we all, Johnny?
No, kid. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you too, especially. There's a picture of you hanging in an attic somewhere that's
Whatever.
Got gray hair and no teeth. All right, maybe not.
People
maybe
give me a really Jordan hard gray. Time when I say I have a daughter that's 30. They're just like...
Really?
So I did that yesterday, too.
Really?
Seriously, I don't think they believed me. And I'm just like, yeah, because I go around lying about it. Like, what?
Yeah, really. Here she is. I
work
with
her. Later this week, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, we all have hobbies. I have dogs. They both look older than me, but.
And they love you.
I think in dog years, they're probably like 110 or something by now. Oh, boy. Dogs. I love them.
Yeah, I miss mine.
And, you know, you get tired of them. You just lock them up. Can't
like,
do that with kids. They'll
that's
throw
it.
You
I'm
in
going
jail.
To the store and you're staying here. Right. Watch the house. Don't pee on anything.
Yeah. Yeah. If that only worked.
I'd imagine that's, you know. Oh, I did want to say real quick before we finish up that September the 13th, I believe is when it is. The Celebrate Recovery Step Study is starting again. There's a step study going right now, but you can't join that one because it's, you know, been going for a little while. But September 13th. That's Friday. There's a new one that starts at Real Life Church. Real Life Church is where we hold Celebrate Recovery, and not necessarily affiliated, but Celebrate Recovery is a faith-based step study. So it's basically like, you know, like your 12 steps kind of thing, but it, you know, it has the faith element to it, which I find is important to me.
Well, the specifically Christian faith.
Yeah, Christian faith. And so I just kind of wanted to put that out there because they only start every so often. Although the amazing thing is that now that we have like 19 leaders, myself being one of them, we are able to start them every 4 months now. And hopefully we'll be able to start them every 2 or 3 months. So, yeah, that's pretty amazing. And that's how I quit smoking this time was I took that on. Oh, yeah. And then my daughter, you know.
Oh, your bet.
Yeah,
not a bet really so much.
Yeah,
as
she was like, "I'll come to church if you quit smoking." So you know, kind of had to quit smoking.
She was probably going to do it anyway, but she leveraged.
Maybe.
Where did she learn to do stuff like that?
I don't know. She just knows me well. She's like, "Mom goes to church every week. It's really important to her." See, and I already knew that she, you know, she's saved and everything. She's been baptized and everything like that. But she knew she could get me on that one. That was probably God planted a seed, kind of the same kind of thing. Like Scott's friend called him to make sure he was okay or to see what the heck was going on. You know, it's one of those things. Tap on the shoulder.
Yeah,
you know,
so. You got it.
Thank you for coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks
for
Scott.
Having me again.
This is great having you.
Yeah.
And maybe we'll have you again the next milestone that you have. Hopefully it won't be a heart attack.
Yeah, definitely not.
I think they're behind me. You know, the doctors still, I think, are going to make a test dummy out of me. I don't know. 7 heart attacks and 2 strokes. They still don't know how I'm breathing.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's what makes you interesting to them. It's going to want to keep them on your side and watching what's going on. So, hey, again, thank you, Scott. Great
thank
having
you
here. I'm sure I'll be seeing you around the center.
Come on with the iRoar.
And yeah, good luck
that's
with
awesome.
That. That's going to be fun. Hopefully I'm going to be able to get down there. And Denise, thank you so much for once again keeping things rolling and asking good questions. And
it's a team thing. All about the team effort.
It's all about the team.
Yep.
And,
don't go it alone.
If you have any, questions about our show,
topic ideas.
You can catch us on Google Play and iTunes. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us at lrccrecoveryradio, all one word, @gmail.com. And we even have a little page on Facebook. Just look for LRC Radio Recovery on KRFP 90.3 FM. And we'll be there and we'll respond. And just one last thing that I like to throw out there at the end of every show. You know, if you think you have a problem with drugs and alcohol, well, you do.